Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we prepare for the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. And let's get into our readings, my friends. But before we do, let's do our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 7 through 10. And here it is. Thus says the Lord, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless. Clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall quickly be healed. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book from the prophet Isaiah, my friends, we are truly inspired, motivated to engage and to get involved in helping other people. And the word says that we should share our bread with the hungry. And for many years, I was blessed with the opportunity to go into homes with meals through Aid for Friends, a great organization who was making more than 2 million meals a year, and helping people with the support of churches throughout multiple counties, where parishioners would get together once or twice a month and make many meals, maybe 400 to 600 meals from fresh foods. They would freeze them, and then visitors like myself would take 7 to 10 meals each and every week into homes. And we had many families who were unable to shop for themselves, people who were really in a position where they were dependent on the support of other people. But the Lord's Word tells us to share our bread with the hungry, to not ignore them. And, you know, many times I've got enough for me, but maybe there's people out there who don't have anything. What can we do to share the food that we have with people who are hungry? There are all kinds of shelters out there. There are different situations that people have that are desperate. And so let's keep an eye open for people who are hungry, who need assistance with different necessities. The Lord's word says to shelter the oppressed and the homeless. And like Mother Teresa, who opened up not one home, but more than 500 homes for the homeless and AIDS victims, we have opportunities, my friends, to shelter the oppressed and the homeless, to really put a roof over their heads, a meal in their mouth, and to clothe the naked when we see them. Are you living in abundance, my friends? And can you afford to give up, to make sacrifice, to give away some of the necessities that you have and no longer need? The Lord's word says to not turn our backs on our own families, our own children, to keep that door open. And it's not easy, because there are many times out there where our own families will make things difficult for us because they disagree with our positions on morals or values or ethics, biblical principles. They disagree with the Word of God. And so we're in a predicament where we're aligned with God, but we have opposition right in our own families. But God's word here through the prophet Isaiah tells us to not turn our back on our own people, our own families, our own children, and to keep that door open. And that's one of the great messages that the Lord gives us here through the prophet Isaiah, because we don't want to close that door. We want to leave it open, and God leaves that door open for us. He gives us many opportunities to change and to see things His way through the eyes of God, to see His positions and to agree with them finally. It may have taken us years, decades, half a lifetime, but when we come on board, we are aligned with God. We have the peace of God. We feel and embrace the love of God, and the Word of God truly is then at the tip of our fingertips and of our tongues, and it's important. And the Lord tells us, once again, in the book of Isaiah, that when we do these things for other people, sharing our bread, sheltering the homeless, clothing the naked, not turning our backs on our own people, our own children, your light shall break forth like the dawn, and you shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will answer. So when we're doing the works that our Lord calls us to, He is accessible to us. He hears us and responds. How do we know? It's in the Word of God right here in the book of Isaiah. You shall call and the Lord will answer. It's powerful. It's an affirmation. It's confirmation that God is close by. He likes what we're doing. And it takes a lot of humility, my friends, to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, and to not turn our backs on our own families, even in tough times. This is important. Let's go to our second reading now from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And here it is. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, St. Paul gives us a great message that is focused on the crucified Christ. He himself is focused on the crucified Christ and not on anything else. And that he came with a demonstration of spirit and power. And his demonstration is in word and action. As the Holy Spirit lives within us, my friends, we look forward to those moments when the power of God is evident. And God's word says that man can do no great things. Only God can do great things. And here St. Paul tells us that, you know, he himself came with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And God working through him, a man converted by Jesus Christ himself, converted in heart and mind, God working through him to demonstrate in word and action the Spirit and the power of God, so that my faith and your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God itself. The book of Psalms says that the first step to wisdom is to fear the Lord. And very often, people will share their wisdom with us. But the wisdom of God surpasses all understanding. And very often, people will give us information, opinion, advice, counsel, based on their experience, which may be in opposition to the Word of God, which may be a lifestyle itself for 50 years, 60, 70 years, a lifetime, a lifestyle, living in opposition to the morals, the values, the ethics, and biblical principles that our Father in heaven has laid out for us. And their wisdom is based on that. Therefore, it's important that we rely on the Word of God, that we rely on the Holy Spirit prompting us, and the power of God working through us to do extraordinary things for other people. As St. Paul says, he came with a demonstration of spirit and power. How has God worked in your life? How has he demonstrated himself to other people through you? What is your position on the earth, my friends? Tell us about the good God has done through you, through your hands, through your feet, through your tongue. What have you done for God? I want you to give it some thought. Now, we have to be careful not to boast about the good things that we do. But today, I say to you, congratulations on the achievements that you have completed, taken on, and come through. The wonderful things you have done with the help of God working through you. Only a week ago, we saw the March for Life in Washington, D.C. take place, and hundreds of thousands of people were witnesses to the power of God working through other people, and the Holy Spirit truly prompting people to come on board with the Mission for the Unborn Child. In 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court said that human offspring are not persons before birth, and you could take the life of an unborn child. And it took more than 49 years, almost 50 years, to overturn Roe v. Wade and to give the states an opportunity truly to counter that incredible position where abortion is okay, it's accepted. Today, you and I, my friends, have work in the states. We have work to do in defense of the unborn, in the protection of the unborn child, and in family life, in marriage between one man and one woman. We have work to do at the state level to make sure that the unborn child is safe in the mother's womb. And that's important. But we lay it out this way today, my friends, because the power of God works through other people, as it did with Moses, who parted the sea, went up against the ocean, as it did with Abraham, as it did with Mother Teresa, truly in opening up 500 homes for the homeless and AIDS victims. The power of God working through other people to do, you know, extraordinary things for God's people, for his children, sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. And that demonstration is so that your faith, once again, and my faith, might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Because human wisdom is flawed. Because men will make mistakes. Men have made mistakes since the beginning of time. And we have to be careful that their wisdom is not the cause of some great accident, some great failure. And once again, in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court said that human offspring are not persons before birth, making it legal for an abortion to be had. And for many years, hundreds of thousands, millions of abortions took place. More than 50 million every year worldwide. Human wisdom. The U.S. Supreme Court said in 1976 that minor daughters can have an abortion without their parents' consent. Human wisdom makes decisions that are not always aligned with the Word of God, the eyes of God. Human wisdom, my friends, made segregation legal here in the United States, a position for decades, 100 years. I want you to think about it. Human wisdom is not always what we think it is best for us. And right here it's confirmed in our second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. The demonstration of spirit and power is so that our faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. That is powerful. We have to be careful about wisdom coming from people with a second agenda, where there's corruption, deceit, lies, and an agenda to take down, once again, things that are good, that have been put in place by our Father in heaven, that have been endorsed, introduced by our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be careful. Let's go to our gospel reading, my friends, from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And here it is. Jesus says to his disciples, You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that we are the salt of the earth, and that our lights must shine before others, so that they may see our good deeds that glorify our Heavenly Father. What is it, my friends, that you and I are doing for God? Are people aware of it? Are we giving all the glory, praise, and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father? Are we glorifying the Father of all mankind? Because the Gospel of Matthew tells us that our lights must shine before others. Let your light shine brightly. Is your light dull? Is it burned out? Does it need to be recharged? Do you need something more to be inspired, my friends? God calls us to be the salt of the earth, letting our light shine brightly, like the sun rising every day, covering the earth in 24 hours, like the moon shining across the ocean as an airplane flies from the United States into Europe, or from the United States into Australia. The moon, you can see the sheen on the ocean. Let your light shine brightly like the sun, my friends, like the moon. Don't hold back. Now more than ever, we are called to be the salt of the earth, to add some extra oomph into a conversation, to change its direction, to not hold back, but to give 100% the Word of God, 100% the love of God with each and every sentence and paragraph, making sure that people are touched in heart and mind. Are we doing that? Or are we monotone, lacking zeal and enthusiasm, great passion? I want you to think about it, because now more than ever, once again, God calls us to let our light shine before other people. This is what we're told to do by Matthew, who walked with Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. We're given a message here to step it up, my friends, to raise the standard, letting our light shine brightly. No longer a 40-watt bulb or 60-watt bulb. God's calling us to put 100%, 100 watts, 150 watts, to light up the room. With what? With passion, zeal, and enthusiasm for our faith. Bringing people in, drawing people in to Jesus. God calls to us to share the love of God with other people, the peace of God with other people, the Word of God with everyone. Are we doing that? Where do you stand today, my friends, on your faith and on the issues that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ? Where do you stand? Are you delivering that passion, zeal, and enthusiasm for God? Are people saying to you, I want what you have? Or do we hide our faith, reluctant to share our faith because of the world? We live in fear of sharing our faith in corporate America and in entities who are unaccepting of the Word of God. It could be in our own homes with people who have come to our homes even for dinner or a holiday, who are on a different page, who don't appreciate the standards that God has given us, but they have their own standard. They do what feels good. They may not be on the same page where marriage is concerned, unwilling to move forward into a marriage where God has blessed it. But more people today are living together, unwilling to take the higher standard. Maybe if we shared more love of God, more peace of God, and set better examples as husbands and wives in marriages, maybe other people, especially our own children, will go forward. And through, once again, that demonstration of the power of God, right in your own family, God calls us to, once again, be great role models in family life. And here in Matthew, as I ask you the question, as a father, as a mother, are you letting your light shine? What are you doing daily that people will recognize God in you? Are we saying prayers, blessings at the dinner table, the breakfast table, prayers before we go to sleep, prayers when we wake up? Do we give thanks to God for all the blessings, graces, and gifts that we have? Do we do that, my friends, and glorify our Heavenly Father? Or do we just take it for granted? Is our conversation superficial, unwilling to go into the depth of our faith, having no chance of glorifying our Heavenly Father? What is the conversation at your dinner table? What is it, my friends? Isn't it time that you and I step it up, my friends? I challenge you this week to raise the standard and to let your light shine before other people. That's our calling, and that's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you, and we thank you for joining us here on Clear for Takeoff at Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great day, and God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.